Well, it's a great pleasure to introduce our speakers today. Mr. and Mrs. Becker are going to come and they're going to share their testimony. And however they have that laid out, I'm sure you're going to be touched and moved by it. So give them your attention. And let's also give them welcome applause as well.
Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Becker. I'm Mrs. Becker, and Dr. Hilton and Dr. Myers asked if we would share our testimony this morning. And I am the marketing director here at Dayspring, and this is my 11th year here. So for some of you, I've been here since about the time you started walking, and for others of you, I've been here since you walked through the doors here at Dayspring. And so my job here is to manage advertising and publications. Our office also manages the website and social media, but that's mainly Mrs. Diffenderfer. But I also manage a couple of events, the Patriots Celebration and the Remember America Speaker Series that we have coming up in a few weeks. And if you've been at either of those events, you know that my place is backstage. And that's because I really, really like it there. But the Lord has called us out front today to share our testimony with you. So I'd like to just go ahead and get us started in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much that you pursue us. And Lord, I pray for these students who will hear our testimony today. You have woven our lives together in such a way so that we could share it with others. And I'm asking you, Jesus, that these precious students here would know deeply how much you love them. You love them so much, Lord, that you pursue them. And I pray that they hear that message through what you have called us to share today, Lord. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the weekend, we had a pastor at our church who is a pastor in Center City, Philadelphia, and he was visiting our church and shared that the night before, his five-year-old daughter had accepted Christ. And sometimes I think to myself, wow, I wish and I wonder what my path would have looked like had I done something like that. But that was not the path that I was on at all. In fact, my path looked a lot like a long and winding road. And I was so far off that path sometimes that I was way out in the wilderness. But in the interest of time, and quite frankly, decency, I'm going to leave a lot of that out. See, I was the one that Jesus came for. Jesus says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for that lost one until he finds it? See, I am that sheep. And one of the benefits of being my age isn't, of course, what you can see in the mirror in front of you, but what you see in the mirror, in the rearview mirror, when you look at your life behind you. And I can look back over the years and I am awestruck at what God has done through Dayspring for me and my family. And some of you may be here at Dayspring and you may love it. Some of you may be here and have no idea why. But I want to encourage you, because if the Lord has you sitting in these seats on this day, he wants you here. And he is working in you and through you for the plans that he has for you. What you may not realize is that God has used this school to dramatically change lives. And this is true for me and my husband, who you'll meet in a few minutes, and my daughter, who graduated from Dayspring in 2015, Carly, for some of you who know her. And this is the story that I want to share with you today. As Jesus tells us in Luke 15, he pursues that one lost sheep. God pursues. I pray you let this soak in. His word tells us in Psalm 23:6, surely your goodness and loving kindness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Now, seniors learned this. This really affected myself and my daughter and my husband. We were on the senior field study in Israel. We're sitting on a hillside in Bethlehem overlooking Shepherd's Field. And our teacher, Dr. Randy Smith, shares the depth of the meaning in Psalm 23 and teaches of God's unfailing love and unfailing pursuit of us. God pursues us. And this is his story, my story, of how he pursued me and my family. I definitely did not have that 5-year-old Sunday school salvation. To be sure, I am who Jesus speaks of in Luke 7:47, when he talks about the woman who loves much because she has been forgiven much. I love a lot. I grew up in a Catholic church, and I definitely did not have a personal relationship with Jesus. I got married the first time when I was 24, and I was divorced by the time I was 30. Some of you have experienced divorce in your families, and it is painful. It is painful. But 1 year after my divorce, I was in a brief relationship, and I found myself pregnant. I was still in the Catholic Church at that time, and it had become my Sunday routine. This is what I would do. I would go to church every Sunday at St. John the Beloved Church in Wilmington, Delaware, and I would walk through the doors, walk down the aisle, walk to the second row pew, and get on my knees, and I would cry. That's what I would do. I would just kneel in that pew and just cry, wondering, what in the world am I going to do? And some of us may find ourselves in places like that, where God will have us right where he needs us to hear him. Some of you may have had difficult things happen to you. I know that. Or some of us have maybe made choices that have put ourselves in that place where we have nothing to do, but we are broken. And we are on our knees. And that's where I found myself that day. I was 31, and I was single, and I was pregnant. So after living a pretty full life, the Lord had me right where he needed me. And it was on that Sunday in November 1996 that in that second row pew that Jesus spoke to me from the cross, and he said to me, give me your life. I will help you raise that child. And at that moment, I stopped crying. And from there, I could see God's pursuit and his faithfulness and his provision. A few months later, my precious daughter Carly was born. And every day for 14 days, day after day, delivery after delivery, gift after gift, there would be a knock at the door, and the Lord was providing through people who loved us, sending us packages day after day. God was faithful, and God was providing for me and my baby. He had spoken that from the cross. I will help you raise that child. And so he continued to care for us, and in 1999, I met my husband and married him 1 year to the day later. Not really knowing God's word, though, that clearly says that we are supposed to marry other believers. I married Jim, though he wasn't saved. But God is faithful, and he pursues that one lost sheep. and to kind of move through a number of years quickly. We were living in Texas at the time. Jim was an Air Force pilot. And then we moved to Delaware when he joined a reserve squadron at Dover Air Force Base. I apologize if I'm stealing any of your story, Jamie. Then we moved to Lancaster, where Carly was going into fourth grade. But before we left Delaware, the Lord had spoken to me that we were going to be stepping outside of the Catholic Church, that Carly and I were going to be doing that. And when we got to Lancaster, Carly attended another school first. But by October of that year, I realized that I had made a mistake. It was a big school, beautiful gym, fancy building. I had no idea that it was not going to be right for us. See, Carly is probably like some of you. She was the shyest child in the classroom, rarely spoke at school, very bright, which made her extremely easy to ignore. And that's exactly what happened. And I tried to talk to the teacher about some things with Carly, and she would simply pat me on the hand and say, "She's fine." But that wasn't good enough for me. But see, we had moved so much. Carly was in the fourth grade at this point, and that was her fourth school. It was about that time that I attended my first ever Bible study. It was on the book of Daniel, and it totally blew my mind. It was amazing, beautiful. But I made it, I met a former DaySpring parent there, Deborah Tarr, if anybody remembers the Tarr family, who was here for a number of years. If you met them, you certainly wouldn't have forgotten them. But so anyway, she asked me why I hadn't considered DaySpring. Well, I had never even heard of DaySpring. But by November of that year, I decided that I wanted to check it out. So Carly was in fourth grade, so we visited Mrs. Sykes' fourth grade class. Who here has had Mrs. Sykes? All right. So you know what a, you know, what a blast that was. I thought she was great. But this is November, right? So what does DaySpring do better than anybody else? We do pilgrims, right? So I remember seeing Mrs. Stauffer. She was the third grade teacher at the time, and she was in full pilgrim regalia. And I remember thinking, these people are weird. But I loved it. I could see their pursuit of truth. But because Carly was in her fourth grade and her fourth school, I tried to make the other school work, but it didn't. And so in fifth grade, Carly came here to DaySpring. And you can imagine the difficulty of that, being in fifth grade and it being your fifth school and being so profoundly shy that speaking in school was overwhelming. But God is faithful. And God got us on the path to DaySpring, and our whole lives change. God was pursuing us and moving us to the place that he had for us. Now, back then, Dr. Myers used to do a principal approach course in the fall, and I took that, and I remember just being amazed at feeling like I had seen truth for the first time. And I remember the first Patriots celebration, practically having to sit on my hands so I didn't throw them in the air in praise, because I was so blessed that the Lord would call my daughter to be educated here. But God wasn't finished. And after Carly's first year, when Carly was in sixth grade, a receptionist position opened up. And even though I had worked in marketing most of my life, I had taken more or less a couple of years off from working, and I wanted to get back into work, but nothing full time. So I saw the receptionist position. I thought that would be something I could be interested in doing. But when I got to the interview, Dr. Myers said, "Well, we have like this special events / admission / teacher's aide position. Would you be interested in that?" So I thought, yeah, I think so. But I don't want to manage anything, okay? So we know how that all worked out. But by year two here for Carly, so I was working at DaySpring, and my first office was a closet in the back of the science lab at the Burrell Building. So who here went to DaySpring when we were in the Burrell Building? Okay. A few of you are left, right? Okay, well, no kidding, that closet was complete with old insect collections, which was pleasant. But what it also had was a door that opened up to the back of Dr. Hilton's Understanding the Times class. And what I heard was revelational. Now, you guys get this, but you have to remember, most of us parents were not educated this way. And what he taught, that worldview affects everything, was revelational. It affects economy, politics, biology, law, psychology. You get the idea. Well, I was captivated and couldn't believe that the Lord had called my daughter to be educated there. And it was about that time, almost, it was 11 or 12 years, almost to the day, after the Lord made that promise, I will help you raise this child, that Carly and I were baptized together in a Christian church here in Lancaster. He had, in fact, called us out of the Catholic Church and to a Christian church, and we were baptized together. But it was the next year then that things began to get interesting with my husband. That's the year that, in seventh grade, as you know, we traveled to the Creation Museum. And parents have the blessing to be able to go along. And never having been educated this way, I remember being captivated when we got to the Carnegie Museum of Natural History and just feeling and seeing how the evolution perspective looked and felt like death. But when we went on to the Creation Museum, it breathed the life-giving beauty of God's Word. And I remember coming home from that trip and getting in bed that night, and I was so overwhelmed, I couldn't sleep, and I just laid there, and I blinked, realizing for the first time that every single word was true. Every single word of God's Word is true. And I began sharing this information with Jim, with my husband, Mr. Becker, and Mr. Gaiman at the time took an interest in Jim and his salvation. And Jim is a pilot. He's a science guy, an evidence guy. And the evidence was beginning to mount, and it wasn't long before Jim spoke that it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation. And to continue calling out those here at Dayspring who had no idea what God was doing through them for my family, he was faithfully leading us along when Mrs. Stauffer and Mr. Stone taught of America's founders and Christian history of our nation. They were frequent topics of conversation and at our home. And God was now in full pursuit of my husband. As Carly grew, God was faithfully raising her here at Dayspring. And while many of you may moan over orations, or at this moment may not realize what they will come to mean to you in college, when all of your roommates and friends are struggling over a measly 5-page paper and you guys can sort of bang it out and deliver it no problem in front of your classroom. But God had taken Carly from the shy child who barely spoke and was largely ignored in the other school to serving as the 2015 Remember America orator. And there's nothing like watching your child from the perspective that I had that night, knowing that it was God walking her to that stage after he had used people like Mrs. Hurley and Mrs. Frick and Mr. Schwartz and others. And that sweet shy child delivered an oration on the power of prayer to more than 1,600 people at the Remember America speaker series with Franklin Graham. And a few weeks later, God gave Carly, Jim, and I the opportunity to go to Israel on the senior field study. And the evidence that Jim was searching for had become overwhelming. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Becker now. And to all of you, this is going to look like a man walking to the podium. But to me, it looks like a miracle.
You didn't warn me about that introduction. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Dayspring has played a huge part in my salvation. Something that's very interesting, the way the Lord works. I didn't know Lisa was going to put that psalm up there, but if I had chosen one, that would have been it. I do feel I was pursued my whole life. When I thought about doing this, I was going to use the analogy of breadcrumbs following, but that really isn't strong enough. So I switched to a chain. My life, my salvation, there were many links in that chain. Not a bad chain. A chain that I could grab and be pulled. So let me start at the beginning. Unlike most of you, I was born into a house, into a group of people that had no religion at all. I don't think there was a Bible in my home. I come from one of the most liberal areas of the country, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Although there are a lot of Christians there, they don't talk about it. You don't hear about it. The school system teaches there is no God. They teach evolution. That's how I was raised. I don't know why my family was like that. My great-grandparents did go to church, although from what I was told, my great-grandfather was excommunicated from the Irish Catholic Church because he married outside of the church. I think that's what broke up the religion in my family, because my grandparents did not attend church at all on my mother's side, and my father and mother never talked about religion. I know as a child I asked about God, and I got very strange answers that didn't make any sense. The first link in my chain, though, was God gave me an incredible sense of truth. I always would seek out truth. Truth was the number one thing guiding me in my life growing up. As I said, I was surrounded by non-believers, but it never made sense, the things they talked about. I believe I was being pursued by the Lord because of that truth. Things in my group didn't make sense. Many of you may notice humans tend to like mobs. Many of the bad things that happen are because of mobs. It's easy to go along with a group think. You have to think individually. And that's one of the things I think I was given early on, the first link in my chain, was being able to say, I don't agree with this. This mob thinking doesn't make any sense. But it was easy growing up to also discount religion completely. The few people in my life that did mention it, you know, I used all the standard arguments you hear. Well, if there's a God that created our world, why is there so much suffering? That doesn't make sense at all. If there's a God that created our world, why didn't he make it easier for me to see that evidence? The evidence was there. I wasn't looking for it. I needed a light to guide my way. But there were little clues. One of the interesting things is, as I was a teenager and in my 20s, my favorite music group was U2. Nowadays, they're pretty liberal, and I'm not sure they're Christians, but they started out as Christians, and many, many of their songs have very deep meaning coming straight from the Bible. Their song Gloria, you could sing that in a church. Their song 40 is Psalm 40 put to music. I still haven't found what I'm looking for as a gospel song. I was singing these songs all the time as a teenager in my 20s. So I was singing along to gospel music, but I did not know it. Similar to Lisa, I did not live a very good life. I got married for the wrong reason. I got divorced. It was a horrible time. But again, there were breadcrumbs or links in the chain. As I said, that the U2 music, my daughter from my first marriage was so ingrained in that music, one day she was singing a U2 song, and my mother, not a religious person at all, thought, she asked me, hey, when did you guys start going to church? I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, Michelle, who was about five at the time, Michelle was singing a gospel song. And that was one of the first times it dawned on me that I had never even considered these songs as gospel in any way. So that was another link in the chain. At about this point is when I started to see that a lot of the people around me were not being truthful. Evolution, the science there. But really, the next big link in the chain was Lisa coming into my life. She has definitely lit my way, which by the name is a song from U2, Ultraviolet, Light My Way. So that was the next link in the chain. And she talked about bringing evidence to me, the video about the human cell and how it worked. And I was already, it didn't make sense to me, evolution, as a scientist. I mean, I went to school as a physicist. I wasn't planning to be a physicist, but I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the science. I enjoyed the evidence. As I said, truth was the number one thing for me. And in math and science, truth is there. You can't lie. Well, global warming, they lie about science. But you can't lie about actual science. So we watched the video on the human cell, and that was the first time I had really seen that. And that really kicked into gear the fact that evolution can't possibly be true for several reasons. The number one being DNA couldn't have evolved because DNA is crucial to evolution. The way evolution works in their mind is you get a small mistake in the DNA, and then that makes a better thing, and eventually you have an improvement. Well, if that's the case, how could DNA have come about if you need DNA for evolution? It couldn't have evolved itself. It was obvious to me. And also using a little bit of the math and science, the chance of a living cell coming out of nothing is just astronomical. It just can't happen. And even if you had that, again, looking at this from my science perspective, the chance of that evolving to a human with the eyes and ears, we are so complex, nobody understands how we work. The chance of that happening. Another thing I looked at was all these evolutionists are constantly screaming about things like, in Florida, you can't have your light on at night because the sea turtles will turn and go towards the light. So you're telling me you believe in evolution that could create a human out of nothing, but evolution can't handle a porch light? And that the sea turtles can't evolve to live with that? That doesn't make any sense. Same with global warming. Okay, so if global warming is true, what's the problem? If you believe in evolution, everything will just evolve to take that into account, and it's not going to affect us at all. But you don't hear much about that side of the argument. So that was another link in the chain. So it became easy for me to say, yes, we had to be created. So the next question, the next link in the chain that I needed to forge was, did Jesus walk the earth and was he who they said he was? So Lisa's already talked a little bit about it. In pursuing that knowledge, I got the opportunity, given the opportunity from the Lord to go to Israel. And that was a moving experience, to say the least. Dayspring is responsible for that. I went along on the senior trip. And I could talk about that for hours and the evidence I saw there. But probably the greatest evidence was when Dr. Randy was describing the aftermath of Jesus being on the earth, his followers, his disciples, how they were just tortured in unimaginable ways to try to get them to renounce Jesus. And none of them ever did it. So they were in incredible pain, and they could have easily ended that pain by just saying, yes, there were no miracles. Yes, he was just a man, but none of them did that. So that evidence really spoke to me in that the people that witnessed Jesus, it had to have been true, or they wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have gone through such horrible pain and it would have been so easy for them. But they knew if they did renounce him, they wouldn't make it to the afterlife, at least to heaven. And that spoke to me. But at the time, I didn't make the jump. I did believe. I left Israel. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus, but I hadn't really decided to make the jump. And what I mean by that is I just didn't verbalize it. I kind of got to a point where this seemed like such a big deal, but I don't know, do I have a party and announce it, or do I just... So I started skydiving just for fun, and I had a little bit of an accident. And it really wasn't that big a deal. I just landed a little funny, and I broke my foot. And a lot of people in that situation might say, yes, they believe in Jesus now because they're worried about the operation and are they going to come through it. But that wasn't the fact at all for me. I needed an operation to fix my foot, and I didn't realize Lisa had really been having trouble with me not being saved yet, even though, like I said, I had kind of made that decision and I just hadn't told her yet. So right before I went into surgery, she really started crying. That's not like her. Yes, it is like her. But I just felt so bad about her crying because she was worried. This is an operation. He doesn't come through it. He's not saved. So she was quite distraught. And when I saw the pain in her face, I just realized, well, this is silly. I've already made the decision. I just haven't said anything about it. I might as well say it. So in the pre-operating room, I did verbalize it. I accepted Jesus, and I was now saved. So I owe everything to Lisa in that respect. She has been the light. She's been the biggest link in that chain. There were more. After that, we got another chance to go to Israel, and I jumped at the opportunity. So we went for Carly's senior trip, and then we decided to go again 2 years later. One, because the first trip was such a moving experience. Obviously, it really ended in my salvation. But two, to be able to see it again, and I have a daughter from my first marriage that is not saved. We wanted to bring her and give her the opportunity to see some of the same evidence and talk to her about that evidence. So the second trip was just as moving as the first trip, and I was able to get baptized in the Sea of Galilee. Incredible experience, and again, God putting evidence in everything. Several people were baptized there, but as Lisa was telling you, I was in the Air Force for 20 years, military background. I was going to talk a little bit about that, but I just didn't have time. Right before my baptism, Israeli helicopters flew right behind us, right across. It almost was in this scene, but at this point, they're off to the left. And it just seemed so fitting and to have that happen. And it was a moving experience, as you can imagine. So my chain has been forged. Keep those links solid. As I said, I see the evidence of God creating those links for me, the truth, bringing Lisa into my life, the opportunity to go to Israel. I do want to thank Dayspring for that opportunity. That was a big part of it as well. So, thank you.
We just want to close in prayer this morning, and we praise the Lord for this opportunity, and we thank Dayspring for the opportunity, and if we could just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you leave the 99 to pursue the one that wanders off. Thank you that you relentlessly pursue these students, each and every one of them, with loving kindness. We pray, Lord, that they submit their hearts to you, Jesus. And it is in your precious name that we ask this. Amen.